On a hill overlooking the twinkling lights of a city at night, spotlights illuminate chunky golden letters and numerals stacked on a raised plinth. 20th Century Fox, a News Corporation company. The pages of a comic book flicker in rapid succession, showing the X-Men in various scenarios, in large white letters. Marvel. A dark blue 1960 S-Class Mercedes-Benz drives down a wide suburban street and pulls up outside a white clapboard house. The passenger door opens, and a good-looking bald man in his 40s steps out. He wears dark-colored slacks, a pale brown tweed jacket, and a white polo shirt. A caption, 20 years ago. The driver of the car gets out and addresses him.
I still don't know why I'm here. Couldn't you just make them say yes?
Yes, I could, but it's not my way. And I would expect you of all people would understand my feelings about the misuse of power.
Ah, power corrupts and all that. Yes, I know, Charles. When are you going to stop lecturing me?
When you start listening. And you're here because I need you.
We're not going to have to meet every one of them in person, are we?
No. This one's special.
A leaflet.
What a beautiful campus. John, don't you think?
Yes, the brochure is great. But what about Jean? What about her illness?
Illness?
John.
You think your daughter is sick, Mr. Gray?
Perhaps it would be best if we were to speak to her. Alone.
Of course. Jean, can you come down, dear?
A young girl, about 11 years old, walks down the stairs and into the living room. Jean, who has long auburn hair, sits down in an armchair by the window.
We'll leave you then.
Jean's parents stand up and leave the room. Charles stares at the pretty young girl, who looks over at Charles's companion.
It's very rude, you know, to read my thoughts, or Mr. Lensher's, without our permission.
Did you think you were the only one of your kind, young lady?
We're mutants, Jean. We are like you.
Really? I doubt that.
Charles Xavier and Eric Lensher stare out of the window as the stationary cars in the street begin to rise into the air. A man steps back as his lawnmower takes flight. Another gapes in shock as the water from his hosepipe streams upwards.
Oh, Charles. I like this one.
You have more power than you can imagine, Jean. The question is, will you control that power?
The cars slam back down on the ground.
Or let it control you.
Towering steel and glass skyscrapers. 10 years ago. A young boy screws up his tear-stained face in anguish. Bare-chested, the boy reaches behind his back as if scrubbing it. A suited man walks along a corridor and stops by a door.
Warren? Son, is everything all right?
He looks troubled.
What's going on in there?
Nothing, I'll be right out!
Come on, you've been in there for over an hour. Open the door. Warren.
1 second!
The boy throws a bloodied file into the sink.
Open this door!
Warren?
Warren tries to clean up.
Let me in there right now! Open the door!
Warren's dad storms in. Warren stares at his father, whose horrified expression changes to that of disgust. Warren's face crumples. White feathers litter the floor.
Oh, God. Not you.
Dad, I'm sorry.
Warren drops his head into his hands. Sticking out from his shoulder blades are the bloody stumps of a pair of wings. 20th Century Fox presents a cell floats around inside a bubble, then surges into a mass of cells. In a lab, a syringe is inserted into a container. A mechanical arm picks up a vial and places it into a holder. In association with Marvel Entertainment, vials spin around in a centrifuge. A droplet splashes into liquid in a petri dish. Strands of DNA float in space. Bold black caption appears, X-Men, the last stand. Shining metal door with an X across it closes. The not-too-distant future. Lasers rain down on a devastated city, exploding in fireballs. Mutants run through the wreckage. Storm, a silver-haired woman dressed in black with a flowing cape, flies through the air, lands, and surveys the scene. Colossus, a muscular man, takes cover with a young woman. As a boulder hurtles towards them, he holds her close and transforms their skin into metal. A rugged, bearded guy, Wolverine, takes a hit. The wound heals instantly. He stares at the other two, whose skin is back to normal.
The whole world's going to hell, you're just going to sit there? Let's go.
They follow Wolverine. A handsome young guy, Iceman, and a young woman, Shadowcat, are running through the wreckage. Iceman turns and freezes a fallen soldier. He smiles at Shadowcat.
Mommy!
She hugs him, and a boulder passes right through them. Another young woman watches them embrace.
Thanks, kitty.
Storm runs over to Wolverine, who lights a cigar in a flaming piece of wreckage.
We're getting killed out here.
Yeah, I know. They're not ready, Storm.
A robot approaches.
Logan?
Oh, don't get your panties in a bunch.
She throws them both aside as a giant mechanical foot stamps down.
That was my last cigar.
Logan!
The robot fires lasers down at them.
It's getting closer! Come on! Let's keep moving!
Hey, Timmy. Come here. How's your throwing arm?
Logan, we work as a team.
Yeah, good luck with that. Throw me. Now!
Damn it, Logan! Don't do this!
Colossus picks Logan, Wolverine, up and flings him into the air. Wolverine has spikes extended from his hands. The robot's gargantuan metal head drops from above. Its glowing eyes flicker, then go out. Wolverine steps out from behind it and retracts his spikes. He stares sternly at the group of mutants.
Class dismissed.
The computer-generated wreckage vaporizes.
Hey, Colossus. Nice throw.
They leave a vast empty chamber.
Simulation complete.
Storm and Wolverine walk through a metal door with an X on it into a corridor.
What the hell was that?
Danger room session.
You know what I mean.
I'll lighten up, Storm.
Look, you can't just change the rules when you feel like it. I'm trying to teach him something.
I taught him something?
It was a defensive exercise.
Yeah, best defense is a good offense. Or is it the other way around?
This isn't a game, Logan.
You sure fooled me. Hey, I'm just a sub. You got a problem? Talk to Scott.
A handsome young guy with neat dark brown hair, Scott Summers, Cyclops, is sitting on the bed in his room with his head bowed. He's dressed in black and has dark glasses on. He's lost in his thoughts. A driving whistle flashes through his mind.
Scott.
A tear runs down his cheek. On a corridor.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Rogue and Iceman.
You don't seem fine. You seem like you're avoiding me. I mean, something's wrong.
What's wrong is I can't touch my boyfriend without killing him. Other than that, I'm wonderful.
Hey, I don't think that's fair. Have I ever put any pressure on you?
You're a guy, Bobby. Your mind's only on one thing.
She leaves him standing. Wolverine walks up to Cyclops.
Hey, Scott, they were looking for you downstairs. You didn't show.
What do you care?
Well, for starters, I had to cover your ass.
I didn't ask you to.
No, you didn't. The professor did. I was just passing through.
So pass through, Logan.
Look.
Wolverine grabs Cyclops' arm.
I know how you feel.
Don't.
When Jean died, I said don't.
Wolverine looks earnestly at Cyclops.
Maybe it's time for us to move on.
Cyclops walks away, glancing back as he goes.
Not everybody heals as fast as you, Logan.
An austere concrete skyscraper looms. A sign outside says, Department of Mutant Affairs. In an office, a man with blue-gray skin and hair is casually perched, upside down on the ceiling, reading a copy of the Scientific American. The headline is Tracking Mutations. A smart woman walks in.
Mr. Secretary?
Yes.
The meeting's begun, sir.
Thank you.
He joins a group seated round a long table.
Mr. President?
Have a seat, Hank.
He sits next to the president.
Homeland Security was tracking Magneto.
We got hits in Lisbon, Geneva, Montreal. NavSat lost him crossing the border, but we did get a consolation prize. We picked her up breaking to the FDA of all places.
You know who she's been imitating? Secretary Trask here.
Yes, sir. She can't do that.
Not anymore, she can't. We got her.
You think your prisons can hold her?
We have some new prisons, Hank. We'll keep them mobile. Be a step ahead this time.
Where is Magneto?
A blue woman,
Raven, I asked you a question.
I don't answer to my slave name.
Raven Darkholm, that's your real name, isn't it? Or has he convinced you you don't have a family anymore?
My family tried to kill me, you pathetic meat sack.
Okay, then, Mystique. Where is he?
Mystique transforms into Magneto.
In here, with us.
I don't want to play games with you. I want answers.
You don't want to play games with me?
You are going to stop this. Tell me, where is Magneto? You want to know where he is?
Mystique headbutts the interviewer and kicks a chair across at a guard. She cartwheels over the interviewer and wraps her manacles around his neck, holding him against the wall.
Oh, Sapien!
Two guards intervene. The film is switched off. The gray-haired president looks grave.
You know, her capture will only provoke Magneto, but having her does give us some diplomatic leverage.
On principle, I can't negotiate with these people.
I thought that's why you appointed me, sir.
Yes, it is.
But that's not why you called me here.
No, this is. It's what she stole from the FDA.
Hank opens a file. It's a dossier on a young male mutant with no hair. Jimmy, a.k.a. Leech.
Dear Lord. Is it viable?
We believe it is.
You realize the level of impact this will have on the mutant community?
Yes, I do. That's precisely why we need some of your diplomacy now.
At Charles Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters...
When an individual acquires great power, the use or misuse of that power is everything. Will it be for the greater good, or will it be used for personal or for destructive ends? Now, this is a question we must all ask ourselves. Why? Because we are mutants. For psychics, this presents a particular problem. When is it acceptable to use our power, and when do we cross that invisible line that turns us into tyrants over our fellow man?
But Einstein said that ethics are an exclusive human concern without any superhuman authority behind it.
Einstein wasn't a mutant, so far as we know. Now, this case study was sent to me by a colleague, Dr. Moira McTaggart. Jones?
On a TV.
The man you see here was born with no higher level brain functions. His organs and nervous system work, but he has no consciousness to speak of.
Now, what if we were to transfer the consciousness of one person, say, a father of four with terminal cancer, into the body of this man? How are we to decide what falls within the range of ethical behavior and what...
Xavier frowns. A shadow passes across his face. As outside, dark clouds suddenly surge across the clear sky. In the stately room, the young students stare at him.
Professor?
We'll continue this tomorrow. Class dismissed.
Storm stands out on a terrace watching the dark gray clouds form. Xavier wheels himself up behind her in his wheelchair.
The forecast was for sunny skies.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She turns to him, smiling, and looks up. A white film passes across her dark eyes and the sky clears. Xavier moves closer to her.
I don't have to be psychic to see that something's bothering you.
On a wood-paneled corridor...
I don't understand. Magneto's a fugitive. We have a mutant in the cabinet, a president who understands us. Why are we still hiding?
We're not hiding, but we still have enemies out there. And I must protect my students. You know that.
Yes, but we can't be students forever.
Storm, I hadn't thought of you as my student for years. In fact, I thought that perhaps you might take my place someday.
They stop and look at each other.
But Scott's...
Scott's a changed man. He took Jean's death so hard. Yes, things are better out there. But you of all people know how fast the weather can change.
There's something you're not telling us.
Xavier's expression becomes grave, and he wheels himself away. Hank's in a study looking at a painting.
Hey?
On auto, Charles!
Storm hugs Hank.
I love what you've done with your hair. Mm,
you too. Thank you for seeing me on such short notice.
Henry, you are always welcome here. You're a part of this place.
I have news.
Is it Eric?
No, though we have been making some progress on that front. Mystique was recently apprehended.
Who's the furball?
Hank McCoy, Secretary of Mutant Affairs.
Right, right, the secretary. Nice suit.
Henry, this is Logan. He's
Wolverine. I hear you're quite an animal.
Look who's talking.
You know Magneto's gonna come get Mystique, right?
Magneto's not the problem. At least not our most pressing one. A major pharmaceutical company has developed a mutant antibody. A way to suppress the mutant X gene.
Suppress?
Permanently. They're calling it a cure.
They all exchange worried looks.
Well, that's ridiculous. You can't cure being a mutant.
Well, scientifically speaking...
Since when did we become a disease? How can anybody in their right...
They're announcing it now.
Outside the headquarters of Worthington Labs on Alcatraz Island, Worthington addresses the press.
These so-called mutants are people just like us. Their affliction is nothing more than a disease, a corruption of healthy cellular activity. But I stand here today to tell you that there's hope. And this site, once the world's most famous prison, will now be the source of freedom for all mutants who choose it. Ladies and gentlemen.
He holds up a test tube.
I proudly present the answer to mutation. Finally, we have a cure.
Rogue watches the TV intently.
Who would want this cure? I mean, what kind of coward would take it just to fit in?
Is it cowardice to save oneself from persecution? Not all of us can fit in so easily. You don't shat on the furniture.
Well, for all we know, the government helped cook this up.
I can assure you the government had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, well, I've heard that before.
My boy, I have been fighting for mutant rights since before you had claws.
Did he just call me boy?
Is it true? They can cure us?
Yes, Rogue, it appears to be true.
Wolverine frowns thoughtfully.
No, Professor. They can't cure us. You want to know why? Because there's nothing to cure. Nothing's wrong with you. Or any of us, for that matter.
A meeting in a church.
How should we as mutants respond? Here's what I think.
This is about getting organized, bringing our complaints to the right people. We need to put together a committee and talk to the government. They don't understand. They don't know what it means to be a mutant. We need to show them, educate them, let them know that we're here to stay.
Come on.
People, you must listen. They won't take us seriously.
They want to exterminate us.
This cure is voluntary. Nobody's talking about extermination.
No one ever talks about it.
Lensha, Magneto walks up.
They just do it. And you go on with your lives, ignoring the signs all around you. And then one day when the air is still and the night has fallen, they come.
Excuse me.
It's only then you realize while you're talking about organizing and committees, the extermination has already begun. Make no mistake, my brothers. They will draw first blood. They will force their cure upon us. The only question is, will you join my brotherhood and fight? Or wait for the inevitable genocide? Who will you stand with, the humans or us?
Magneto walks off, followed by a young Pyro. A group of mutants approach them, led by a guy with slicked back black hair, Kid Omega.
You talk pretty tough for a guy in a cape.
Pyro's hand flame.
Back off.
You're so proud of being a mutant, where's your mark?
I have been marked once, my dear, and let me assure you, no needle shall ever touch my skin again.
You know who you're talking to? Do you?
And what can you do?
The woman moves at lightning speed.
So, you have talents.
That and more. I know you control metal, and I know there's 87 mutants in here, none of them above a class 3, other than you two.
You can sense other mutants and their powers. Could you locate one for me?
A convoy speeds along a road flanked by trees. A black sedan followed by a 4x4, an articulated truck, and two more vehicles. Held in a cage on the truck is the president, his hands hanging from roof manacles. A guard walks up to the bars.
Let me out of here! I demand that you release me. Do you know who I am? I'm the President of the United States.
Oh, Mr. President.
Shut up!
Mystique transforms into a little girl.
Why are you doing this to me? Let me down! I'll be a good girl. Please let me go. Please.
Keep it up.
I'll spray you in the face, bitch.
She smiles.
When I get out of here, I'm gonna kill you myself.
Yeah, right.
He walks away, and the little girl transforms into the blue, scaly-skinned Mystique. The convoy drives on. A chopper lands in a courtyard in front of the Worthington Laboratories on Alcatraz Island. Hank gets out of the chopper as smart, black-haired Dr. Rao walks up wearing white trousers and a black coat.
Secretary McCoy, welcome to Worthington Labs.
Thank you, Dr. Rao. Not an easy place to get to.
It's the safest location we could find. That's why we keep the source of the cure here.
He is a mutant.
You understand our concern.
We are in full compliance with your department's policy.
How long will you keep the boy here?
Until we can fully map his DNA, we can replicate it, but we can't generate it.
And his power? What is its range?
You'll see.
They enter a white room where a boy is sitting on the floor playing a video game.
Jimmy, there's someone I would like you to meet.
Hello there, son.
Hi.
My name is Hank McCoy.
As Hank reaches his hand out to Jimmy, his blue-gray skin color transforms to pink. Hank stares at his hand.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Bald Jimmy stares at Hank.
You have an amazing gift. Thank you, Jimmy.
With a slight smile and a nod, Jimmy returns to his video game. As Hank walks over to Dr. Rao, his hand returns to its blue-gray color.
Extraordinary, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
They walk out and a white glass door slides shut. Cyclops rides his motorcycle along a deserted road with dense pine forests rising up on either side. His hair whips around in front of his face as he rides. On the other side of the forest, Alkali Lake stretches out, clouds reflected in its still surface. Mountains sweep up on the far bank. Cyclops stops by the lake, kicks out his bike stand and leans the bike on it. Cyclops takes a bag off his back and lays it on the saddle.
Scott.
Wearing shades, he looks around apprehensively. He walks onto rocks jutting out over the lake and gazes across the water, which ripples slightly.
Stop it.
He clamps his hands over his ears.
Stop!
He takes his shades off and a gold ray of light shines out of his eyes, forcing up a torrent of water. He collapses and puts his sunglasses back on. Cyclops leaps across the water. A massive whirlpool is opened up. He stands and stares incredulously at the gaping chasm. A column of water bursts out of the whirlpool, sending shockwaves across the lake. Cyclops is thrown onto his back. As he heaves himself up, a bright light shines on him. He holds out his hand to shield his eyes. A figure steps out of a bright golden glow in front of him. Cyclops springs to his feet. The light subsides. Standing on the rock before Cyclops, dressed in black, her long red hair loose, is Dr. Jean Grey.
Jean?
Scott?
Al?
He steps towards her. She glances round, puzzled.
I don't know.
They fall into each other's arms and hug each other tightly. Jean smiles and closes her eyes as she wraps her arms around his shoulders. Cyclops breaks off to look at her face and stroke her hair.
I want to see your eyes.
He looks unsettled.
Take these off.
He holds her arms.
Trust me. I can control it now.
She slowly reaches up and takes the dark glasses from Cyclops' eyes. He keeps his eyes tightly closed.
Open them. You can't hurt me.
Cyclops relaxes his eyelids and slowly opens them. His eyes glow a dazzling orange, then slowly darken to a normal grey-blue colour. He stares at Jean and touches her hair, then kisses her passionately. As they kiss, Jean holds the back of Cyclops' head and opens her eyes. Suddenly, Cyclops' face begins to ripple, and he opens his eyes in shock. At the mansion, Xavier shudders as though he can feel some disturbance. Wolverine also feels something and runs downstairs to Storm.
What happened?
No clue!
Professor, you okay?
Get to Alkali Lake.
A thick cloud of grey mist hangs across the surface of the lake as the sleek, dark X-Jet glides down between the rugged mountains, its thrusters glowing bright blue. The jet descends into the blanket of mist and lands. Wolverine and Storm walk down a ladder, out of the jet, and into the impenetrable fog.
You don't want to be here.
Do you?
Wolverine follows her along the bank. A rock floats up into the air behind them, and Wolverine glances over his shoulder. Wolverine walks over some fallen leaves, and one of them drifts up into the air. Droplets of water float up off leaves as Storm and Wolverine walk past.
I can't see a damn thing.
I can take care of that.
Storm's eyes turn white and she tilts her head back. The thick gray fog clears, leaving rocks and lumps of driftwood floating in the air. Wolverine stands beside Storm and looks around at the flotsam, hanging several feet off the ground.
What the?
A large stone floats towards him and he taps it with his finger, sending it gliding off in another direction. He and Storm glance at each other, and Storm walks along the bank while Wolverine steps closer to the calm lake. He notices Cyclops' sunglasses floating alongside rocks and other debris. Wolverine plucks the glasses out of midair and studies them thoughtfully.
Logan!
He races over to Storm, who crouches beside the unconscious Jean.
She's alive.
Wolverine leans closer to Jean.
Jean.
At the mansion, Xavier holds his hands over Jean's head.
The sheer mass of water that collapsed on top of Jean should have obliterated her completely. The only explanation of Jean's survival is that her powers wrapped her in a cocoon of telekinetic energy.
Wolverine looks down at her.
Is she going to be okay?
Jean Grey is the only Class 5 mutant I've ever encountered, her potential practically limitless. Her mutation is seated in the unconscious part of her mind, and therein lay the danger. When she was a girl, I created a series of psychic barriers to isolate her powers from her conscious mind. And as a result, Jean developed a dual personality.
What?
The conscious Jean, whose powers were always in her control, and the dormant side. A personality that in our sessions came to call itself the Phoenix. A purely instinctual creature, all desire and joy and rage.
She knew all this?
It's unclear how much she knew. Far more critical is whether the woman in front of us is the Jean Grey we know, or the Phoenix, furiously struggling to be free.
She looks pretty peaceful to me.
Because I'm keeping her that way. I'm trying to restore the psychic blocks and cage the beast again.
What have you done to her?
Logan, you have to understand...
You're talking about a person's mind here, about Jean.
She has to be controlled.
Controlled? You know, sometimes when you cage the beast gets angry.
You have no idea. You have no idea of what she is capable.
No, Professor. I had no idea what you were capable of.
I had a terrible choice to make. I chose the lesser of two evils.
Well, it sounds to me like Jean had no choice at all.
I don't have to explain myself. Least of all to you.
Xavier holds his hands a few inches from Jean's head, and Wolverine storms out. A reporter outside Withington Labs.
History will be made here today. For the first time, the so-called mutant cure will be available to the public. Now, reaction has run the gamut with mutants on both sides of the line. Some are desperate for this cure, while others are offended by the very idea of it. See?
Withington stares down at the protesters through a window in the vast futuristic building. He doesn't turn around as dark-haired, bespectacled Dr. Rao steps up behind him.
Is Secretary McCoy going to be a problem?
Hard to say. His political views seem somewhat at odds with his personal issues.
Excuse me, sir. Your son's arrived.
Good. Bring him in.
You sure you want to start with him?
I think it's important, yes.
Warren now in his 20s.
Hello, Warren.
How are you, son? You sleep well?
Yeah.
You know, I'm proud of you for doing this. Everything's gonna be fine. I promise.
He stares at blonde Warren.
You ready?
Warren nods, and Dr. Rao dons a pair of white latex gloves. A technician helps Warren off with his overcoat, revealing leather restraints around his torso. The restraints hold down two large feathery white angel wings on Warren's back. Two technicians stand Warren against an upright operating table, set at a gentle angle, and guide his wrists into restraining cuffs. Dr. Rao opens a small case and loads a tube of serum into a syringe gun.
The transformation can be a little jarring.
She takes the cap off the gun's needle and steps towards Warden.
Dad, can we talk about this for a sec?
We've talked about it, son. I'll be over soon.
She cleans his arm.
Everything's going to be fine.
Wait. I can't do this.
Warren, calm down.
I can't do this.
Yes, you can.
Okay,
just relax, son. Take it easy. Calm down.
I can't
down.
Do this.
I promise you, it'll be fine. Warren, relax.
Warren wrenches free of his restraint and his powerful white wings spread out behind him. Dr. Rao stares in awe.
Warren, it's a better life. It's what we all want.
No. It's what you want.
Warren runs at the window.
Warren, no!
Bare-chested, Warren smashes through the window and plummets towards the ground. His wings stretch out, and he swoops up, gliding over the heads of the protesters outside the labs. Warren soars like an eagle as he flies out to sea. On Alcatraz, bald-headed young Leech stares out through his window, wide-eyed in wonder, as he watches Warren fly over the Golden Gate Bridge. The articulated truck containing Mystique's cell drives along a rural highway with the two security cars in front and two behind. Up ahead stands Magneto, wearing his dark cloak and helmet. With a wave of his hand, the lead car is floated into the air, crushed, and then flung onto the roadside. Using his mutant powers, Magneto wrecks the other three cars and flings them off the road, then dislodges the trailer from the truck. Magneto waves his hands, and the truck goes flying over his head. He then holds up his hands, and the trailer skids to a halt just in front of him. A guard slides across the trailer and hits the bars on Mystique's cell. Mystique grabs his head between her feet and snaps his neck.
Told you so.
She hooks her toes into his keyring, lifts her foot up to her manacles, and unlocks them. Magneto, Pyro, Callisto, Psylocke, and Arclight walk to the rear of the trailer. Magneto holds his hand towards the door, which Julie flips open. Mystique has opened her cell and strolls towards them.
About time.
I've been busy. Did you find what you were looking for?
The source of the cure is a mutant. A child at Worthington Labs. Without him, they have nothing.
The guard's clipboard.
Read off the guest list.
Cell 41205. James Madrix.
This one robbed 7 banks.
Magneto opens a cell, and a young man steps out with 6 identical replicas.
At the same time.
I could use a man of your talents.
I'm in.
Welcome to the Brotherhood.
The replicas merge into one. Another cell.
Careful with this one.
Kane Marco, solitary confinement. Now check this out. Prisoner must be confined at all times. If he builds any momentum, no object can stop him.
How fascinating.
Magneto opens the cell.
And what do they call you?
Juggernaut.
I can't imagine why.
You can let me out of here. I need a pee.
Magneto holds out his hand and the thick set of cuffs restraining Juggernaut's massive frame burst open. Juggernaut, bare-chested and wearing a thick metal helmet, jumps out. A guard wakes up.
Nice helmet.
Keeps my face pretty.
I think he'll make a fine addition to our army. Yeah.
The guard aims a gun.
No!
Mystique steps in front of Magneto and the dart hits him in the shoulder. The guard's gun goes flying into Magneto's hand, and the guard is incinerated by a blast of fire from Pyro. Mystique writhes and twists on the floor as though she's been poisoned. her scaly blue skin slowly vanishes, transforming her into a normal, dark-haired, naked young woman. Magneto stares down, wide-eyed.
You saved me.
She looks helplessly up at him, and he turns away.
Hank. I'm sorry, my dear. You're not one of us anymore.
Magneto strides to the door of the trailer with Juggernaut and Pyro.
Such a shame. She was so beautiful.
She stares after them. Hank McCoy's with the president.
You think resigning's gonna make a difference? That's no way to influence policy.
Policy is being made without me, Mr. President. The decision to turn the cure into a weapon was made without me. What happened on that convoy was inexcusable. But your actions,
Hank, that was an isolated incident. You have to understand. Those mutants were a real threat.
Have you even begun to think what a slippery slope you're on?
I have.
He walks around his desk.
And I worry about how democracy survives when one man can move cities with his mind.
As do I.
You and I know that it's only going to get worse.
All the more reason why I need to be where I belong.
He turns away. At the X-Mansion, the unconscious Jean lies on a surgical table and is connected to various monitors. Wolverine stares down at Jean, who has a clear plastic mask covering her eyes and the top of her head. Different areas of the mask occasionally flash with pulses of energy. Wolverine reaches down to stroke her neck, and she suddenly grabs his wrist. The mask slides off her head, and she opens her eyes.
Jean.
She slowly turns her head to face him.
Hi, Logan.
Welcome back.
Back where we first met. Only I was in your place and you were in mine.
You okay?
She smiles.
Yeah. More than okay.
She seems in a daze and takes 3 monitor sensors off her chest. Wolverine looks down at Jean's chest beneath her small black dress. She turns to him with a drunken smile.
Logan, you're making me blush.
He frowns.
You reading my thoughts?
I don't have to. It's okay.
Jean sits up on the table and swivels round to face Wolverine, putting her legs either side of him. She leans closer to Wolverine and gazes up at him.
It's okay.
Wolverine sighs heavily, then presses his mouth against hers. They kiss passionately, and Jean wraps her legs around his back. Jean pulls off Wolverine's shirt, and he lays her down on the table. They kiss some more, and Jean wraps her legs around him again, then claws her nails across his shoulder. Wolverine moans, then his scratches heal up, and he kisses her again. Wolverine rubs his hand against her thigh, and her eyes darken from pale brown to jet black. Wolverine breaks off and stares at her.
Wait.
Wolverine's belt flies off by itself, and he jumps down from the table.
Jean, this isn't you.
Yes, it is me.
No, maybe you ought to take it easy, huh? The professor said you might be different.
He would know, wouldn't he? What? You think he's not in your head, too? Look at you, Logan. He's tamed you.
Wolverine steps back and stares at her, intently.
Where's Scott?
Jean looks away pensively.
Jean?
Where am I?
You're in the mansion. You need to tell me what happened to Scott.
She looks frightened and panicky.
Jean, tell me what happened to him.
He holds out Cyclops' dark red-tinted sunglasses. Jean sees something in their reflection, then remembers the lake erupting. She remembers kissing Cyclops. Screws remove themselves from furniture and the sunglasses shatter. Wolverine holds her hand.
Look at me.
The monitor shaken, liquid bubbles in a drip.
You stay with me. Talk to me. Look at me. Look at me.
No.
Focus. Focus, Gene.
Kill me. Kill me before I kill someone else.
Don't say that.
Please.
Stop it.
Kill me.
Glass shatters.
Stop. Look. It'll be all right. We can help you. Hey, the professor can help. He can fix it.
I don't want to fix it.
Her eyes turn black and Wolverine is thrown against a wall. The door is destroyed and Jean walks down the corridor. In his bunker, Magneto picks up the guard's dart gun.
Voluntary. They put the cure in the gun. I told you they would draw first blood.
So what do we do?
What do we do? We use this weapon as a lightning rod to bring countless more to our cause. Come, we have an army to build.
Callisto comes down the stairs.
I picked something up. An electromagnetic force. It's massive. It's a mutant. Class 5. More powerful than anything I've ever felt. More powerful than you.
Magneto stares at her.
Where is she?
Storm and Xavier find Wolverine unconscious.
Logan.
Jean.
What happened?
What have you done?
Xavier stares reproachfully at Wolverine, who tries to gather his thoughts.
I think she killed Scott.
What? That's not possible.
I warned you.
Xavier closes his eyes and concentrates.
She's left the mansion, but she's trying to block my thoughts. She's so strong.
He opens his eyes.
It may be too late.
Xavier, Wolverine, and Storm get out of a car outside Jean's parents' house.
Wait for me here.
What?
I need to see Jean alone. You were right, Charles. This one is special.
What the hell are you doing here?
Same as the professor, visiting an old friend. I don't want trouble here. Nor do I, Charles. So, shall we go inside?
Magneto leads the way.
I came to bring Jean home. Don't interfere, Eric. Just like old times, eh? She needs help. Jean is not well. Funny, you sound just like her parents.
To Juggernaut.
Nobody gets inside.
Several of Magneto's Brotherhood of Evil Mutants stand outside the house. Juggernaut smiles. By pointing his finger, Magneto opens the door. Xavier glides into the house in his wheelchair, and Magneto follows. Xavier glances around the empty living room, then moves on into the kitchen. A water cooler bubbles as though boiling, and steam pours out of a kettle on the stove. Magneto and Xavier pass through the kitchen and find Jean sitting in a lounge with the furniture levitating around her. The furniture drops to the floor as they come in.
I knew you'd come.
Of course. I've come to bring you home.
I have no home.
Yes, you do. You have a home and a family. You know, he thinks your power is too great for you to control. Eric. I don't believe your mind games are going to work anymore, Charles.
So you want to control me?
No. He does. No. I want to help you.
Help me? What's wrong with me?
Absolutely nothing. Eric, stop! No, Charles, not this time. You've always held her back. For your own good, Jean.
She makes a lamp hit the wall.
Stay out of my head.
Outside, the garden gate shuts.
I'm going in.
The professor said he'd handle this.
Inside the house, doors slam shut, and the furniture begins to levitate again.
Look at me, Jean. I can help you.
No.
Look at me.
Get out of my head.
He's pushed back.
Perhaps you should listen to her, Charles. You must trust me. You're a danger to everyone and yourself. But I can help you. I think you want to give her the cure. Look what happened to Scott. You killed the man you loved because you couldn't control your power.
No, stop it!
The windows shatter.
That's it.
Wolverine's blades burst out of his knuckles and he and Juggernaut charge at each other. They collide and Wolverine flips into the air while Storm levitates. Juggernaut grabs Wolverine and hurls him through the window. Storm spins round and round and zooms towards the house, knocking out Kid Omega and Cyborg. She hits Callista with forks of lightning, blasting her through the front door. Callista zooms around the room at hyper-fast speed, then punches Storm in the face. In another room, Juggernaut throws Wolverine up through the ceiling. Wolverine falls back through the ceiling into the next room, and Juggernaut kicks him through the window. Wind whistles through the lounge, where Jean and Xavier gaze at each other.
Jean, let me in!
She stares at him coldly as debris flies around the room. Callista headbutts Storm, then whizzes behind her to push her head through a glass table. Magneto is slumped against the kitchen sink from which water gushes up at the ceiling. Xavier and Jean stare at each other, and Jean's face seems to become lined and mottled. Xavier's face is buffeted by the wind, and Jean stands up. In another room, Callisto and Storm fight while Wolverine is thrown to the wall by Juggernaut. Wolverine tries to slash Juggernaut, but Juggernaut punches him hard across the face. In the lounge, Xavier and Jean continue staring at each other, and Xavier slowly levitates up out of his wheelchair. Jean's eyes darken, and her face becomes mottled as she keeps her gaze firmly fixed on Xavier. The whole house begins to levitate, and Wolverine is thrown against the ceiling. Xavier clenches his fists, and his skin begins to disintegrate. Magneto yells from the kitchen.
No, Jean! Jean!
Xavier hangs in midair as chunks of the house are blown around the room by gale force winds. The house starts to fall apart as it floats in the air. Juggernaut and Wolverine are both pinned to the ceiling, and Wolverine notices a pair of sliding doors leading to the lounge. He rolls over, plunging his blades into the ceiling and crawling like a mountaineer. Magneto watches wide-eyed as Xavier floats, helplessly trapped in Jean's gaze. Wolverine crawls across to the sliding doors and manages to pry one of them open. He stares into the lounge at Jean, still holding Xavier within her powerful gaze. Jean lifts her arms, and the wind and flying debris seem to stop as though frozen in time. Looking battered and ragged, Xavier stares down at her.
Don't let it control you.
His face ripples in the wind, and he smiles at Wolverine. Magneto cries out from the kitchen.
Charge!
Xavier disintegrates in a huge bodily explosion, and the house drops to the ground. Magneto clambers to his feet in the ruined kitchen and walks through into the lounge. Jean kneels on the floor in an almost catatonic state, as Magneto strides over and puts his arm around her shoulder.
My dear, come with me.
He helps her up and ushers her out. Wolverine and Storm run through into the lounge to find Xavier's wheelchair empty and covered in dust. Wolverine turns disbelievingly to Storm, then drops to his knees. Storm sobs and steps up behind Wolverine, wrapping her arms around his neck. Rippled clouds hang in the blue sky over the X mansion. Xavier's wheelchair stands in the middle of the empty lounge. Storm reads the eulogy at Xavier's funeral.
We live in an age of darkness, a world full of fear, hate, and intolerance. But in every age, there are those who fight against it. Charles Xavier was born into a world divided, a world he tried to heal, a mission he never saw accomplished. It seems the destiny of great men to see their goals unfulfilled. Charles was more than a leader, more than a teacher. He was a friend. When we were afraid, he gave us strength. And when we were alone, he gave us a family. He may be gone, but his teachings live on through us, his students. Wherever we may go, we must carry on his vision, and that's a vision of a world united.
The mutants, seated by his memorial stone, are all dressed in formal black. Wolverine is dressed in casual denims and looks down from a balcony. The mutants stand, and a dark-haired young Shadowcat lays a white rose by the eternal flame. Later, Shadowcat lies on her bed, her eyes puffy, her cheeks tear-stained.
Kitty.
She wipes her eyes.
Bobby?
He steps into the room and closes the door.
You okay?
Yeah.
Iceman sits down on the edge of her bed.
It's just... Xavier came to my house. He was the one that convinced me to come here.
Yeah, me too. We're all feeling the same way, you know.
No, Bobby, we're not. And you have Rogue, and I've... You know, I just miss home. The first snow and all that.
He looks over at a pair of ice skates.
Kitty, get up. Come with me.
Storm told us to stay in our rooms.
Don't worry. We won't get caught. I mean, you can walk through walls, you know. Come on.
Nightlights glow in the mansion's elegant gardens. Shadowcat and Iceman walk by the ornamental pond, in the center of which water cascades down the many tiers of a fountain.
This place can be home, too.
He touches the surface of the water, and the pond freezes over. They both put skates on. Iceman runs his fingers along the blades, and frost covers them. The pair skate around the pond, grinning happily. Iceman stretches out his arm, and Shadowcat takes his hand. They skate round and round the frozen fountain. Iceman hurls Shadowcat round and steadies her. They smile at each other happily. Shadowcat moves her hair to one side and gazes into Iceman's eyes.
Thank you for this, Bobby.
Rogue watches from her bedroom window as the pair skate across the ice. She stomps away from the window. Later, she walks along a corridor, wearing a coat and carrying a bag. Wolverine comes out of a room.
Need a lift, kid?
No.
He walks up and stands facing her.
Where are you going?
You don't know what it's like to be afraid of your powers. Be afraid to get close to anybody.
Yeah. I do.
I want to be able to touch people, Logan. A hug. A handshake. A kiss.
I hope you're not doing this for some boy. Look, if you want to go, then go. Just be sure it's what you want.
Shouldn't you be telling me to stay? To go upstairs and unpack?
I'm not your father. I'm your friend.
She smiles.
Just think about what I said, Rogue.
He turns to go.
Marie.
He looks at her.
Marie.
Rogue walks to the large wooden door and leaves. Day. A vast forest sweeps up a mountainside. Densely packed pine trees stand side by side. At their base, Magneto's Brotherhood of Evil Mutants have set up a camp. Jean, wearing a long black coat, stands on a hillock surveying the scene. Morning sun rays filter through the trees. Magneto walks up beside Jean.
Do you remember when we first met? Do you know what I saw when I looked at you? I saw the next stage in evolution. What Charles and I dreamt of. And I thought to myself, why would Charles want to turn this goddess into a mortal?
He holds out the antidote gun and makes it float in the air in front of them.
I can manipulate metal in this, but you, you can do anything. Anything you can think of.
Jean makes the gun's components parts separate in midair, revealing the cartridge, which opens up, leaving four syringes, which float towards Magneto's face.
Jean, enough.
The needles move closer.
Enough!
Jean makes the syringes drop to the ground.
You sound just like him.
Jean, he wanted to hold you back.
What do you want?
I want you to be what you are. As nature intended.
He steps closer to her.
That cure is meant for all of us. If we want freedom, we must fight for it. And that fight begins now.
Jean gazes thoughtfully. Magneto walks to the camp with Callisto and Pyro.
She shouldn't be here with us. Her power is completely unstable.
Only in the wrong hands.
You trust her? She's one of them.
So were you once.
I stuck with you all the way. Would have killed the professor if you'd given me the chance.
Magneto stops Pyro.
Charles Xavier did more for mutants than you'll ever know. My single greatest regret is that he had to die for our dream to live.
Magneto walks on. In the study at the mansion, Wolverine stares out of the window. Iceman, Shadowcat, Hank, and Storm sit around the room with somber expressions.
So what now? What do we do?
Professor Xavier started this school. Perhaps it's best that it end with him. We'll have to tell the students that they're going home.
Most of us don't have anywhere to go. I can't believe this. I can't believe we're not going to fight for this school.
Blonde-haired, suited Warren, Angel, walks in.
I'm sorry, I know this is a bad time. I was told that this was a safe place for mutants.
It was, son.
Storm steps towards Angel.
And it still is. We'll find you a room. Hank, tell all the students the school stays open.
Iceman smiles. Wolverine scowls and looks away. Later, Iceman walks along a corridor. He goes to a wood-paneled door and knocks.
Rogue. Hey, Rogue.
He walks in. The room's been cleared. He frowns and walks out as Colossus walks past with a TV under his arm.
Hey, Pete. You seen Rogue?
Yeah, she took off.
Iceman frowns heavily. A flaming torch burns on the marble base of Xavier's grave. Wolverine walks up to the grave and stares at the circular bronze relief depicting Xavier's noble profile. Logan. Wolverine looks round sharply. Jean's in the forest.
Logan.
Jean.
Logan.
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 Gritting his teeth, Wolverine grimaces, sinks to his knees and holds his hand against his head. He slowly looks up at the tombstone in front of him. In his room, Wolverine urgently grabs things from a chest of drawers and stuffs them into a bag. Storm walks in the open door and watches him for a moment.
Where are you going?
What do you think?
She's gone, Logan. She's not coming back.
You don't know that.
She killed the professor.
It wasn't Jean. The Jean I know is still in there.
He goes to the door.
Listen,
Emma.
Why can't you see the truth, huh? Why can't you just let her go?
Because
you love her.
He pushes Storm against the door, then walks away from her and hangs his head.
She made her choice. Now it's time we make ours. So if you're with us, then be with us.
In anguish, Wolverine closes his eyes. Later, the gates to the mansion open, and Wolverine rides out on his motorcycle. Protesters are gathered outside the Washington Public Health Clinic, where mutants are queuing up for the cure. The protesters wave banners with slogans like, "Say no to the cure," on them. Iceman wanders through the protesters. Pyro walks up to him.
Getting the cure so you can go back home to Mommy and Daddy?
Iceman stares at Pyro.
I'm looking for someone.
They look across at the health clinic.
Oh, I get it. Your girlfriend. I figured she'd want the cure. She's pathetic.
Iceman clenches a frozen fist. Pyro ignites a fireball in his hand.
Come on, Iceman. Make a move.
They stare at each other for a moment. Then Iceman shakes his head and walks away.
Same old Bobby. Still afraid of a fight!
Pyro looks at the health center, then flings the fireball at it. It explodes and flames leap out of all the ground floor windows. The crowds run in every direction. Storm and her people watch Magneto on a TV news broadcast.
Today's attack was only our first salvo. So long as the cure exists, our war will rage. Your cities will not be safe. Your streets will not be safe. you will not be safe. And to my fellow mutants, I make you this offer. Join us or stay out of our way. Enough mutant blood has been spilled already.
The president is watching with an aide.
We're trying to track him, sir. We're working hard.
The president paces.
We cannot let him do this.
You know I agree, sir.
This is now a national security matter. Seize and secure Worthington Labs. I want troops armed with cure weapons deployed immediately.
Yes, sir.
And Trask, you have to find Magneto and stop him by any means necessary. Magneto wants a war. We'll give him one.
A military base.
Let's go! Keep it moving! Turn in your old weapon! Turn in all metal! Bayonets! Magazines! Dog tags! Pick up your plastic weapons! Pick up your cure cartridge! Absolutely no metal!
Choppers land outside the Worthington laboratories. Soldiers climb out holding plastic rifles. In Washington, soldiers line up in front of the protesters. A bus pulls up and Rogue gets off. She looks around apprehensively, then joins the queue outside the clinic. A sign on the wall says, mutant cure shots available. Soldiers stand guard in front of the queue of mutants. Rogue glances across at the protesting mutants for a moment, then looks down guiltily. A dense forest undulates across mountaintops. Smoke wafts through the pine trees. Wolverine stands alone. He sniffs the air. Wolverine looks through the trees. He clenches his fist and extends his blades. Frowning, he steps forward. A spiral spike shoots into his shoulder and he falls. Over where away, a muscular mutant stands, grinning with his arms open. Spikes swell under his skin and appear in his hands. He throws them at Wolverine and runs after him. At the camp, other mutants listen, then advance. The spike-throwing mutant races after Wolverine, who stops behind a tree. Wolverine grimaces as he pulls the spike out of his shoulder. The mutant tramps through the forest. Wolverine throws the spike at him and it sticks in his leg. More mutants emerge. Wolverine looks around urgently. Wolverine climbs up a tree, then backflips down onto two mutants. He dispenses them with slashes and kicks, then stabs his blades into another's chest. Wolverine runs through the forest, stabbing and slicing mutants as he goes. A spike hits a tree. Wolverine fends off more spikes with his blades and charges at the spike-throwing mutant. The pair charge head to head, and Wolverine plunges his blades into the mutant's chest, forcing him onto his back. Wolverine grimaces as he lifts himself off the mutant and retracts his blades. There are two spikes sticking out of his stomach. He pulls them out. At the camp, Magneto stands on a platform in front of a brotherhood who wear hooded cloaks. Behind Magneto are his cohorts. Jean stands alone to one side. Wolverine grabs a cloak hanging outside a tent, puts it on and walks through the group.
They wish to cure us, but I say to you, we are the cure!
They wave their fists in the air.
The cure for that infirm, imperfect condition called Homo sapiens. They have their weapons. We have ours.
He glances at Jean.
We will strike with a vengeance and a fury that this world has never witnessed. If any mutants stand in our way, we will use this poison against them. We shall go to Alcatraz Island, take control of the cure, and destroy its source. And then nothing can stop us!
As Magneto and the Brotherhood raise their arms, Jean sees Wolverine and walks away from the platform. Wolverine runs into the forest to find Jean. He sees her calmly walking away.
Jean?
She turns round and they look into each other's eyes. Wolverine is thrown against a tree. He's splayed against the tree trunk. Magneto steps forward with his fist raised.
I know the smell of your adamantium from a mile away.
I didn't come here to fight you.
Smart boy.
I came for Jean.
Do you think I'm keeping her against her will?
Jean stands watching them. Magneto raises his fingers. Wolverine winces and slowly floats towards Magneto until he's suspended in the air in front of him.
She's here because she wants to be.
You don't know what you're dealing with.
I know full well. I saw what she did to Charles.
And you stood there and let him die. I'm not leaving here without her.
Yes, you are.
Magneto flicks his fingers, sending Wolverine crashing against a tree. Wolverine drops through the branches and lands on his back. Night at the White House.
Okay. 2 minutes to rendezvous, Mr. President.
Trask and the President look at a screen.
We have a satellite feed of Magneto's base of operations.
An aerial view of the forest.
How did we find it?
She gave us everything we wanted and more.
Mystique is on a video screen.
Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
The forest is dark. A team of special operations soldiers with plastic rifles are hidden amongst the trees. At the head of the group is a soldier heavily camouflaged with matting. He turns to the men and beckons. They move forward, rifles raised. They wear dark combat suits, helmets, and night vision goggles, which make the forest appear green-tinged. At the White House, the President watches the screen which shows the dark forest from above. The soldiers are bright white figures.
Approaching target dead ahead. Set for 360-degree incursion.
The Brotherhood are clustered in the center of the screen. The soldiers close in on all sides. One group halts. They squat down and ready their plastic rifles. The leader speaks into a radio mic.
This is Team Leader to Bravo One. We are green to go.
Trask turns to the gray-haired, wizened President.
Okay, send them in.
Okay.
The soldiers surge forward on all sides. Watching the screen, the President's face falls as the members of the Brotherhood start to vanish off the screen. In the forest, the Brotherhood is in fact multiple man who has duplicated himself hundreds of times. The multiples disappear, leaving the original, hands up and grinning.
Okay. I give up.
Sorry, Mr. Secretary, it was a decoy.
If he's not there, then where the hell is he?
Morning. Magneto, Juggernaut, Callisto, and Arclight are on a cliff overlooking San Francisco Bay. They stare across at Alcatraz Island.
Worthington Labs. It ends where it began. Are you sure the boy's still inside?
100%.
So how are we supposed to get there? Because I don't swim.
Leave that to me.
At the mansion, Wolverine charges through a doorway into the entrance hall. A storm comes downstairs.
Storm! Storm!
What are you doing back here?
I need help.
You found her?
Yeah, she's with Magneto.
Where are they?
They're on the move. I know where they're going.
You're saying you saw Magneto?
Yeah, gotta go now. They're gonna attack Alcatraz.
There are troops stationed on that island.
Not enough to stop him.
Let's suit up.
Angel listens from a doorway. Wolverine and Hank walk along a gleaming corridor.
I don't believe this one's fit, eh?
If Magneto gets hold of that cure, there'll be no stopping him.
Can you estimate how many he has?
An army. And Jean.
His powers have limits. Hers do not.
There's only six of us, Logan.
Wolverine stares at Iceman.
Yeah, we're outnumbered. I'm not gonna lie to you. But we lost Scott. We lost the Professor. If we don't fight now, everything they stood for will die with them. I'm not gonna let that happen. Are you?
Iceman shakes his head.
Then we stand together. X-Men.
He looks at Storm.
All of us.
Wolverine looks at Iceman, who glances at Shadowcat and Colossus.
We're in.
Let's go.
The hangar doors part, and Wolverine and Storm watch the others walk towards the X-Jet.
They're ready.
Yeah, I know. But are you ready to do what you need to do when the time comes?
Storm follows the others along an illuminated gangway. Frowning heavily, Wolverine thinks for a moment, then joins them. The X doors slide shut. The dark X-Jet soars into the blue sky. Two sweeping curves come together at its pointed nose. Mighty wings zigzag across the rear, with thrusters on both sides. Sitting beside Wolverine in the cockpit, Storm pushes the throttle forward and the X-Jet soars through a clear sky. In the cabin, the others sit somberly lost in their thoughts. Iceman glances across at Shadowcat, who looks straight ahead. Colossus's face is impassive. Hank frowns. The X-Jet flies over a snow-capped mountain range. Traffic passes to and fro across the Golden Gate Bridge. In the back of an SUV, a boy and a girl play a video game on handheld consoles. A young couple sits smiling in the front, the man driving. The cars all swerve suddenly, bumping into each other and blocking the bridge. Some people get out of their vehicles. The boy in the SUV looks around fearfully.
Dad, what's going on?
The girl looks out of the window.
It's an earthquake.
The man tugs at his door, which won't open.
We're trapped.
The woman stares up at the suspension cables. Bolts come loose and fall out as the structure sways from side to side. Hordes of people run between the cars, which suddenly slide to the sides. Magneto walks along the bridge with his hands raised to palm the vehicles. His army follow behind him. At the head of the army are Pylo, Jean, Juggernaut, and Kid Omega. The woman in the SUV stares aghast at the approaching army. Magneto stops. His followers gather together. People keep running from the bridge. Magneto's stern features are framed within his close-fitting helmet. He walks ahead with his hands held together in front of him. He turns sideways and stretches his arms out, his left arm pointing at one of the immense bridge towers. The concrete base explodes and the red steel tower shatters. Magneto raises his hand and the end cables snap. He moves his hand to one side. The end of the bridge crumbles and swings away from the mainland. The tower at the other end disintegrates and the bridge breaks free. Magneto guides the bridge through the air towards Alcatraz Island. With his army standing behind him, Magneto twists his hand in the air to guide the bridge above the Blue Bay. On the island, soldiers stand on a watchtower. They stare incredulously at the huge red monolith drifting towards them. In his white room, Leech stands on his bed and watches through a small rectangular window. On the glass pane of Leech's window, the bridge is silhouetted against golden sunlight. In San Francisco, a tram climbs a hill. The bridge moves between the mainland and the island. Strips of ripped tarmac droop over one end of the steel structure, which hangs over the soldiers on the island. Magneto stands with his palms facing up.
Charles always wanted to build bridges.
Magneto flips his hand over and hangs in midair as the bridge drops down, one end on Alcatraz, the other in San Francisco. Huge plumes of dust rise up as the structure thunders down. The president stares agog at an aerial view of the scene.
My God!
Magneto gently floats down to his army. At the head of the vehicles is the SUV, where the boy cowers behind his seat. He stares open-mouthed as Magneto lands. He turns and looks at the SUV. The mother nervously reaches to her side and locks the door. Magneto turns and marches to the Alcatraz end of the bridge, followed by his army. Floodlights wash over the island. In the lab, Worthington and Dr. Rao watch through a wide rectangular window. Magneto reaches the end of the bridge with Juggernaut behind him. Callista and Pylo step up beside Magneto.
The boy's in the southeast corner of the building.
Well then.
Let's take it down!
Pyro gestures and hordes of mutants surge forward. They throw themselves off the end of the bridge and fly down onto the island. One of them swings up onto a watchtower. Soldiers emerge from the buildings. Juggernaut is about to step forward, but Magneto holds his hand up to stop him.
In chess, the pawns go first.
The soldiers take aim.
Humans and their guns.
The soldiers open fire. A cure dart hits a mutant and he collapses and transforms into a human. Magneto waves his hand, but nothing happens.
Plastic. They've learned.
The soldiers fire hundreds of cure darts into the air. They rain down and transform the mutants.
That's why the pawns go first.
The scaly mutant hanging from the watchtower is hit with a cure dart. He pulls out the dart, his skin returns to normal, and he falls.
Target the bridge!
The soldiers move several mortars closer to the bridge. Magneto stares intently at the soldiers. The cannons fire thousands of cure darts. Magneto waves his arms and fragments of metal fly into the air, deflecting the darts.
Arclight, use your shockwaves. Target those weapons.
Arclight steps forward menacingly and holds her arms out. The shield drops and she slams her hands together. Everything ripples as shockwaves pass over the wreckage. The soldiers' plastic guns disintegrate. Arclight claps her hands again, sending more shockwaves across the island. The X-Jet flies overhead. Storm stares in horror.
Oh, my stars and garters.
Go into stealth mode.
The jet turns invisible.
What about jets, tanks?
Against Magneto? I'll turn them inside out.
Where are our ground troops?
30 minutes away.
Then God help us.
Hundreds more mutants descend on the island. Magneto stands watching. A hot ash-breathing mutant disintegrates two soldiers with a breath. Worthington and Rao watch horrified.
They're coming for him.
Amongst the chaos, Callisto looks up. The X-Jet descends from a cloud of thick smoke and lands on the roof of the lab. Jean and Magneto stand watching calmly. More mutants run onto the island. Storm floats down from the rooftop, her cape billowing around her. She fires lightning on the rebel mutants. Hank descends, as do Iceman and Shadowcat with their arms around each other. Colossus appears. Iceman and Shadowcat pop up out of the ground.
Don't ever do that again.
Wolverine slows his fall by scraping his blades down the grooved metal walls of the lab. He barks orders at the soldiers.
You men, come at the doors! Everybody get together and hold this line!
The soldiers stand side by side in front of the lab. In front of them are Wolverine, Storm, and the rest of the X-Men. A short distance away, Magneto and his rebel army face them. Magneto regards his opposition sternly.
Traitors to their own cause.
Wolverine glowers, ready for action. Jean stands demurely, her red hair caught in the floodlights.
Finish them!
The mutant rattle charge. Wolverine slices a post with his blades, and a tower of floodlights falls on the mutants. Wolverine slashes mutants. Hank dives in and punches with his blue fists. Magneto turns to Arclight, Pyro, Kid Omega, Callisto, and Juggernaut, and they make a move. Storm throws out her arms and rises up. Callisto moves at lightning speed to the rooftop and jumps on Storm. They plummet to the ground. Iceman throws up a wall of ice against a gang of mutants. Pyro makes a move.
Not yet.
Callisto darts around, kicking and punching Storm, who slams her to the ground. Colossus lays into a mutant. Another mutant charges at Shadowcat, who passes right through him and throws him down. Juggernaut stands beside Magneto.
Go inside, get the boy, and kill him.
With pleasure.
Massive helmeted Juggernaut bounds through the battleground, barging through soldiers as he goes. He stomps up on a truck and crashes through the wall of the lab.
He's going for the boy!
Not if I get there first!
As Wolverine slashes mutants with his blades, Shadowcat sprints through a wall. Wolverine slashes a mutant's arms off, but they immediately reappear and he punches Wolverine. Wolverine tries again.
Come on!
Wolverine kicks him in the groin.
Grow those back.
Juggernaut stomps along corridors, pursued by Shadowcat, who jumps on him and drags him down so he's sunk into the floor. Shadowcat rises up again and stares at him.
Don't you know who I am?
She runs off.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
He smashes his way out of the floor, throwing masonry everywhere. Shadowcat runs through wall after wall, followed by Juggernaut, who smashes his way through them with his hefty helmet. Shadowcat ducks beside a wall as Juggernaut thunders on through another wall. Shadowcat runs off in another direction. Juggernaut stops. Worthington and Dr. Raya come face to face with Kid Omega and Arclight on the corridor. As they turn the other way, Psylocke appears out of a wall.
Going somewhere?
Worthington looks around anxiously as Kid Omega steps up.
You're the guy that invented the cure, right?
Yes, I am.
Girls,
They grab him.
No, don't.
Hey,
don't hurt him. No,
let go of me.
Don't hurt him.
I didn't do anything. Hey, calm down, calm down. Everything's gonna be okay.
He hugs Dr. Rao. Sharp spines shoot out of his body and stab her to death. He retracts the spines and walks off. Hank flies down into a crowd of mutants and batters them. Wolverine's using his blades on the mutant when Hank crashes in.
I thought you were a diplomat.
As Churchill said, there comes a time when all men must... Oh, you get the point!
Inside...
Oh, no! No! Please, no, no, don't! No!
Shadowcat passes through the wall into Leech's room. She looks around and finds him huddled on the floor.
No, don't worry. I'm here to help you. I'm gonna get you out of here.
She puts her arm around him.
This way.
The wall blocks them.
Oh my God. What's going on?
Your powers won't work with me.
Stay close, all right?
Okay.
Juggernaut barges through the wall.
I'm the wrong guy to play hide and seek with.
Who's hiding, dickhead?
He charges. They duck and he crashes his head against the wall, bounces back and lands unconscious. Shadowcat leads Leech out through the hole in the wall Juggernaut came through. The mutants take Worthington to the roof.
No! 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 No!
Please, don't do this. I only wanted to help you people.
Do we look like we need your help?
They throw him off. Angel flies past and grabs his father's arm and drapes it round his shoulder. Worthington stares incredulously at his son. Down below, Storm and Callisto are still locked in combat. Storm throws Callisto against a wire fence and electrocutes her with bolts of lightning.
It's time to end this war.
Magneto lifts his arms, raising a card into the air. Pyro throws fire at the card and it crashes down, flaming on a watchtower. Wolverine and the soldiers retreat.
Take cover!
Magneto throws several vehicles into the air. Pyro ignites them with columns of fire. They crash down as flaming bombs. Storm takes cover behind a girder. Wolverine ducks behind a car, as does Hank. The flaming car bombs sail through the air and rain down on the lab and surrounding buildings, one after the other. Golden columns of flame shoot up from Pyro's hands, igniting the vehicles. Storm takes cover next to Wolverine. Iceman is nearby. A flaming car obliterates a watchtower and a golden flash. Pyro throws up more and more fire. Wolverine glances at the ground. He sees a cartridge with cure darts poking out of it lying in the gravel. He stares at the darts, frowning, tormented. Hank and Storm see the darts. Storm looks anxiously at Wolverine as a burning car falls nearby. Wolverine stares maniacally back at Hank and her.
We work as a team.
Best defense is a good offense.
As the fire rages and the car bombs rain down, Wolverine looks across at Iceman.
Fuck! Think you can take out your old friend?
Iceman nods, runs out and throws up a cloud of ice which extinguishes a burning car. It drops like a stone. Magneto calmly turns to Pyro.
Go ahead.
Pyro marches off.
Storm, wait, I need some cover.
Right.
Storm looks up. Her eyes turn white and clouds form overhead. In a clearing, Iceman stands facing Pyro. Smoke wafts all around. Pyro sparks up a flame in his hand and throws it. Iceman freezes it with a constant blast of ice. The pair stand face to face, a stream of fire and ice meeting between them. Jean stands like a statue, watching. As does Magneto and Wolverine. Wolverine runs out from cover. Pyro swings towards Iceman, streaming fire from both of his hands against the barrage of ice. Pyro gets closer, and his flames envelop Iceman, who cowers.
You're in over your head, Bobby. I need to go back to school.
Iceman suddenly encases his whole body in ice and grabs Pyro's wrists. The fire goes out. Iceman straightens up and headbutts Pyro to the ground.
You never should have left.
This is it. Hey.
Begin a strike.
Colossus picks Wolverine up and hurls him at Magneto. As Wolverine flies through the air towards him, Magneto uses his powers to bring him crashing down at his feet. He then flips Wolverine onto his back.
You never learn, do you?
Actually, I do.
Hank jumps down behind Magneto and stabs four antidote darts into him. With a look of stunned surprise, Magneto collapses onto the ground. Wolverine gets to his feet.
I'm...
one of them?
Magneto falls back and rolls onto his side. He sees Jean standing nearby.
This is what they want for all of us.
Jean regards him with a grimly determined expression. Magneto rolls onto his back. With a shaking hand, pulls the antidote darts out of his chest. He stares fixedly up at the sky. Wolverine looks over at Jean, who stares back at him.
It's over, Jean. It's over.
Troops appear over the ridge, guns at the ready.
No, don't shoot!
They ignore his warning. Jean uses her powers to block the bullets, which stop suspended in the air behind her. She then turns to face the troops and rises into the air.
No!
Jean literally blows the troops away with her powers. She turns round, suspended in the air, and focuses her power on the buildings, causing explosions and devastation. Hank yells out.
Everybody get out of here!
Troops pour out of the building and flee. Amongst them is Iceman. Shadowcat calls out to him, and he goes back to help her.
Mommy!
He takes her hand, and they run off together with the boy. Jean stands surrounded by flying debris, her long hair and cloak billowing out behind her. Magneto looks over at her.
What have I done?
With a fearful look, Magneto joins the fleeing troops. Storm comes over to Wolverine, who's standing staring at Jean.
I'm the only one who can stop her. Get everyone to safety. Go!
Storm flies off into the air. Wolverine turns back to Jean.
Jean!
She ignores him and concentrates her power on the buildings. The roof is ripped off. As Kid Omega, Arclight, and Psylocke flee the building, they are vaporized. Outside, soldiers and the Humvee are hurled through the air and disintegrated. San Francisco Bay rises up in a great wall of water. Wolverine watches the water rising into the air, then turns back to Jean, who stands atop a heap of flaming wreckage. He walks towards her.
Jean! I know you're still there!
She pushes him back with the force of her power. He struggles to walk towards her. As he does so, his clothes start to disintegrate. He raises his arms to protect his face and forces his way forward. The last of his clothing is stripped away from his upper body. As he gets closer to Jean, his skin is partially ripped away. It quickly regenerates itself and he forces himself onwards. Eventually, Wolverine stands face to face with Jean. The force emanating from her rips the skin on his face.
You would die for them.
No, not for them. For you.
Her expression softens.
For you.
The force battering Wolverine recedes, and Jean fights back tears.
Save me.
Wolverine extends his blades and runs Jean through with them. She grimaces in agony, then her face softens and becomes peaceful.
You
Wolverine withdraws his blades and holds Jean's limp body in his arms. A wall of water crashes back into San Francisco Bay. Wolverine cradles Jean in his arms and weeps as he looks down at her.
No!
He holds her lifeless body tight to him as he stands on top of the pile of wreckage. Small fires burn all around, and the lights of traffic shine on the Golden Gate Bridge to one side of the island. Shadowcat stands in front of two new graves in the gardens of the mansion, beside Xavier's. Each is marked with an X in a circle. They belong to Jean Grey and Scott Summers. Storm walks over and joins Shadowcat. Iceman walks down a corridor in the mansion and goes into a room where he finds Rogue.
You're back.
As he walks over to her, she gets up and turns to face him.
I'm sorry. I had to.
This isn't what I wanted.
I know. It's what I wanted.
Iceman looks down and takes Rogue's bare hand. She looks up at him and smiles. Outside, Jimmy, Leech, runs up to Storm, who gives him a hug.
Hey. Good to see you, buddy.
So it is with the thanks of a grateful nation that I introduce our new ambassador to the United Nations and the representative to the world for all United States citizens, human and mutant alike, Dr. Hank McCoy.
Wolverine is watching the television.
Way to go, Furball.
He walks out of the room.
Thank you very much.
Wolverine steps out of the mansion and walks onto the terrace. It's a nice day outside. He puts his hands in his pockets and looks out over the mansion's expansive grounds. Wolverine and the mansion recede into the distance. Angel flies through the clear skies over the Golden Gate Bridge. He passes the missing section of the bridge. Angel flies on over a park, and a boy looks up and watches him go. At a number of tables nearby, men are playing chess. At one of the tables, a man in a cap and checked jacket sits alone, contemplating a chessboard. It's Magneto. Magneto stares thoughtfully at the board, then reaches out a hand towards one of the pieces, which are made of metal. It moves slightly. Directed by Brett Ratner, written by Simon Kinberg and Zach Penn. Produced by Lauren Shuler Donner, Ralph Winter, Harry Aran. Executive producers, Stan Lee, Kevin Feige, John Palermo. Director of photography, Dante Spinotti, ASCAIC. Production designer, Edward Vero. Edited by Mark Helfrich, ACE, Mark Goldblatt, ACE, Julia Wong. Co-producers Ross Fanger, Kurt Williams, James M. Freitag, Lee Cleary. Music by John Powell. Visual effects supervisor John Bruno. Costume designer Judiana Makovsky. Casting by Rick Pagano, CSA. Corinne Mayers, CSA. Heike Brandstatter, CSA. Hugh Jackman. Halle Berry, Ian McKellen, Famke Janssen, Anna Paquin, Kelsey Grammer, James Marsden, Rebecca Romijn, Sean Ashmore, Alan Stanford, Vinnie Jones, and Patrick Stewart. Ellen Page, Ben Foster, Dania Ramirez, Michael Murphy, Shere Agdashlu, Joseph Sommer, Bill Duke, Daniel Cudmore, Eric Dane, Adonis Company Production, a Brett Ratner film. Unit Production Manager Ross Fanker. Unit Production Manager Stuart Bethune. First Assistant Director Lee Cleary. First Assistant Director James M. Freitag. Second Assistant Director David K. Arnold. Second Unit Director Stunt Coordinator Simon Crane. Associate Producer David Gorder. Additional VFX Supervisor John D.J. Desjardins. Produced in association with Ingenious Film Partners and made in association with Dune Entertainment LLC and major studio partners. Cast: Logan, Wolverine, Hugh Jackman. Aurora Monroe, Storm, Halle Berry. Eric Lenscher, Magneto, Ian McKellen. Professor Charles Xavier, Patrick Stewart. Dr. Jean Grey, Phoenix, Famke Janssen. Marie, Rogue, Anna Paquin. Dr. Hank McCoy, Beast, Kelsey Grammer. Scott Summers, Cyclops. James Marsden. Raven Darkholme, Mystique, Rebecca Romijn. Bobby Drake, Iceman, Sean Ashmore. John Allardyce, Pyro, Alan Stanford. Kane Marco, Juggernaut, Vinnie Jones. Kitty Pryde, Shadowcat, Ellen Page. Piotr Rasputin, Colossus, Daniel Cudmore. Warren Worthington III, Angel, Ben Foster. Warren Worthington Sr., Michael Murphy. Callisto, Dania Ramirez. Dr. Kavita Rao, Shore Agdashli. The President, Joseph Sommer. Oliver Trask, Bill Duke. Mrs. Gray, Desiree Zarovsky. Mr. Gray, Adrian Hoff. Young Jean Gray, Haley Ram. Lawnmower Man, Chris Claremont. Waterhose Man, Stan Lee. Young Angel, Caden Boyd. Dr. McCoy's assistant, Tanya Newbold. FBI Mystique Interrogator, Anthony Heald. Jimmy, Leach, Cameron Bright. Jones, Connor Widows. Jubilation Lee, Jubilee, Kea Wong. Teresa Rook Cassidy, Siren, Shauna Kane. Flea, Luke Pohl. Mutant Theatre Organiser, Julian Richings. Lizard Man, Lloyd Adams. Little Fat, Richard Yee. Fat, Via Salamur. Psylocke, Mae Melanson. Arclight, Emma Hyler. Bob Herman, Clayton Wadlow. Kid Omega, Ken Leung. Prison Truck Guard 1, Julian D. Christopher. Prison Truck Guard 2, Brad Kelly. Prison Truck Little Girl, Mackenzie Vega. Newscaster, Mi Jung Lee. Worthington Technician, Benita Ha. Prison Truck Driver, Ron James. Sergeant, R. Lee Ermey. Spike, Lance Gibson. Team Leader, Aaron Pearl. Minivan Mother, Jella Horsdal. Minivan Father, John Piper Ferguson. Minivan Daughter, Branna O'Brien. Minivan Son 1, Justin Callan. Minivan Son 2, Alex Ferris. Photographer, Peter Kawasaki. Commander, Ronald Blecker. Alcatraz Lieutenant, Emmy Annika. Omega Mutie, David Colin Smith. Copyright 2006, 20th Century Fox Corporation and Dune Entertainment LLC, TCF Hungary, Ingenious Film Partners LLP, XM3 Service Inc. are the authors of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. The events, characters and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictional. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or to actual events or firms is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution, as well as civil liability. ITFC audio description. The hospital room where the patient with no high-level brain function is lying. Ceiling-to-floor windows look out over a backdrop of trees. Dr. Moira McTaggart comes in.
Morning.
She leans over the patient and starts to turn him.
Hello, Moira.
She looks confused. She straightens up, her eyes staring anxiously.
Charles.